All right, tonight, why don't we turn in our Bibles to, I think we'll start in John chapter 6. Look at a few verses. I want to talk about the power of the Word of God. Talk about the power of the Word of God. Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 6 of John, verse 63. John 6, 63. This is what the Lord said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews chapter 4. Find a familiar passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 describes the power, life-giving power of the Word of God. Verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Bible. Jesus said about the words of this book, says they are spirit and they are life. What does the Bible say about itself? It says the Word of God is quick. That's life-giving. It's quick and powerful. The power of the Word of God. What an amazing thing. John 17, 17, you know that verse, right? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. The Word of God. The Bible. It's talking about the Bible. That's God's word. And we could elaborate on that some more, but we aren't going to. The power of the Word of God. Now, I want us to look at Mark chapter 4. And we have a very unique description of the life-giving power of the Word of God. And remember, the Word of God is the Bible. Remember, the Word of God is the Bible. And that Bible, the words of that Bible are called seeds. Verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now here's Pastor John. He puts the seed in the ground. You've probably seen him do it, right, Stephen? He puts the seed in the ground. And you know what? He leaves it there. He buries it. He throws it away into the ground. And he goes in the house, and he does something else. He sleeps a few days, you know, sleeps a few nights. And whoa, man, look at, there's a plant coming up. Man, how'd that happen? I mean, it just happened, didn't it? You know what? It's illustrating the power of the Word. The Word of God is called the seed. And it says, and the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. You know what that's from? The Word of God. Now, Matthew puts it a different way. Matthew 13. And Matthew 13 should be one of those passages of the scriptures that people read very often. Because Matthew 13 is one of those passages of scriptures that very particularly talk about the ministry of the church age. And it describes some very important things that we need to understand. But if you go there, you will see some very interesting things. It tells us the four different, let's go there. Verse 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, neither where they had root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Was there anything wrong with the seed? No. In the other parables, you see that the sower is the Lord Jesus. There wasn't anything wrong with the seed, and there wasn't anything wrong with the sower. Because the seed, left to itself, when it is heard and received, what happens? It brings forth fruit. When the seed, the Word of God, when it is heard and received, it always brings forth fruit. Always brings forth fruit. So let's stop there a minute. Is there a problem with the Bible? Nope. No problem with the Bible. The Word of God has spiritual life within it. And when it is planted in the soil of a person's life, it brings forth change. Brings forth fruit. Nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Nothing wrong at all. Now, I think we need to get that point crossed. Nothing wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the perfect Word of God. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Nothing wrong with the seed. And when the seed is planted in a heart, it's going to bring forth results, isn't it? Okay? So, what's the problem? What's the problem? It's not the word. It's not the problem. That isn't the problem. Now, in one sense, the word, if you have a Bible, and we have a Bible, if you have a Bible, there is absolutely no excuse under the sun. Our lives aren't changing. We can never stand before God and say, I'm not growing. We can never say that legitimately before God and give an excuse that we're not growing. Because the Bible says the Word of God gives life. How many times? How often? When does the Bible lose its life-giving power? Never. You get the point? It's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. It's not ever, and we all, everybody here, not, anybody here not have a Bible or access to a Bible. So we have a plain statement in the Bible. The Word of God, when it gets in the soil, it grows. It supernaturally, miraculously grows. It produces fruit in that person's life. That's what the Bible says. Now, so it isn't the Bible. There's nobody here that doesn't have a Bible. And whenever the Bible, the Word of God, enters in a person's heart, it bears fruit. It does something that will bear fruit. So it's not Bible, it's not God problem. No excuse ever, ever. I'm not growing. Never can be said as an excuse, ever. Never. Because we have a Bible. Now, notice a couple things. First of all, in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, the problem wasn't the seed. We got that figured out. The problem isn't the sower, because that was Jesus. So you have the perfect sower, and you have the perfect seed, but you have four different results. Because it describes four different hearts of man. It describes the four different hearts of man. And that's where the problem is. If a person's not growing, it's not the Bible. Now, it could be the preacher. But if you read your Bible, then that eliminates the preacher, doesn't it? Right? So, no excuse. But it does say, even with the perfect preacher and the perfect word, there's four different results. And of course, we know what they are. We've read this many times. And one is illustrated by seed that's on the wayside. And you know what? Never, it doesn't get anywhere, because, you know, the heart is hard. It has absolutely no effect upon that person. Zero. You know, it's like putting seed on Honeywell Road. Amen? The birds are going to come and eat it up. Actually, no penetration at all. That's a hard heart. Not a problem with the sower, and it's not a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the heart. Now we have the ground on a stony ground. Now, when we think of stony ground in Walworth County, we think of a lot of rocks. But really, go back to Door County. That's Bible lands. You have limestone bedrock. And in that, with that bedrock, you have places where the soil is very thin. And it makes a good picture here. You know, you put the seed in that bedrock that has this little thin layer of soil. Well, the soil's nice and warm. You know, soil temperature is one of the keys of a plant of germination, isn't it, Jonathan? Soil temperature. Oh, the soil temperature is really nice. You know, the soil is thin. Nice soil temperature, good for so-called germination. You know what? The sun's going to come out. And there's not much soil there. And there's not any moisture there. And whatever happens, it's going to fizzle out. And Jesus made it very clear. Well, what is this all about? What does that illustrate it? And he said, verse 21, it says, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Tribulation or persecution, some kind of trial, difficulty. Well, I'm done. You know, Uncle Schmort said that. That's over. You know what I mean? And blah, blah, blah. Well, there wasn't anything wrong with the seed, but there was a problem with the heart. There was competition in the heart for the seed. And, of course, the thorny ground, the Bible says, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. What are the cares of the world? Oh, there's a lot of things. Cares of the world. You know? Cares of the world. Well, I'm not going to do that. I could lose money. Deceitfulness of riches. You know? Just go on the whole line. You know, it's called competition with the Bible. This is what I want. Bible says this. Forget the Bible. Competition. Well, this is the truth. Nope, I'm not dealing with the truth. Nobody's ever going to find out the truth about me. That's it. Bible's done. Oh, you know what? Need to get that right. You stole that thing, you need to get it right. Nope, not me. I'm never going to get it right. Nope. Bible's over, isn't it? Bible's over. And you can just go on. Mega church is all about. Don't preach on that, I'm out. Don't preach on that, I'm out. I know they're never going to interfere with my life there. That's why I'm there. But you see, the good ground, he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So here we have it. This is God's plan. This is what's normal. There's no other way. This is the normal plan. This fourth one represents salvation. true salvation, conversion. The others are false professions. That's not salvation. It's not being born again. Not a conversion takes place. There wasn't an understanding. There wasn't an illumination, the Bible says. Because the Word of God didn't enter in and bring forth understanding. But, you know, there's the picture of the power of the Word of God. It doesn't have a 90% germination rate. You know, if you know anything about seed, it's 100% germination rate. That means every seed that's put on good soil germinates and produces a crop. So how do we think about this? How does Jesus say that? What does he say as a summary statement of this? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's a choice. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying it's a choice to let the Word of God go deep within your heart without interference. He that hath ears, let him hear. It's not hear, hear. It's hear, hear. Right? That's what he's saying. Hear, hear. And we can, you know what? I'm not going to feel too bad about this. Because, you know, you can come and hear a sermon and get nothing out of it. And that same day you got nothing out of it, someone's going to come by the door and they're going to say, you know, Pastor, this is exactly what I've been reading in my Bible and how the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. Amazing. And at the same time, someone is going to sleep through that message or ignore the message and get nothing out of it and have absolutely no effect on their life. Not going to feel too bad. You know why? Because when you read your Bible, what's the effect? When you read your Bible, what's the effect? Do you hear God's voice? Do you hear God's voice? Does the truth of the Bible, it should do something in our life, right? I mean, if we're reading the true Word of God, supernatural message from heaven, it ought to do something, right? We ought to hear something. It's God's Word. And yet we can be honest when we say, oh man, I read the Bible today, but it had no effect on my life. In fact, we could ask you what you read today and you might have a hard time even knowing what you read. Nonetheless, saying, what did God speak to you about? Right? You see, the real issue is our heart. That's the real issue. And God has a normal plan. Don't you love new believers? You know what's great about new believers? They don't have all, a real, true, genuine believer, they don't have all this competition. And they come up to you and say, oh, man, I read the Bible. Oh, man, this is good. You know? I like, oh, man, this is good. Because that's how it's normally supposed to be. Amen. But, you know, when we get in there, all sorts of things like bitterness or pride or prejudice or all these other things, what do we hear? We read words. Now, young people, here's a good challenge for you. Okay, be honest. When was the last time You read the Bible and God spoke to your heart. You know that you met God. You read the supernatural Word of God. Was the last time that you read this book and you got convicted of sin and repented? I mean, all on your own. All on your own. Now, I should be fair, right? When's the last time you was an adult? You read the Bible. And just by reading the Bible, you got convicted of a sin and you repented of it. When's the last time? When's the last time you read the Bible and you read a great truth? You say, oh, that's great. That's a great truth. Stirred your heart. Changed your life. He said, that's exactly what God wanted me to have today. It's the last time. See, there's nothing wrong with the seed. This is the perfect living Word of God. It's alive. It's just the supernatural words of God. It has life. Sometimes we need to get to reality and quit bluffing ourselves. Another principle that's really important. If the Bible is the living Word of God, then how much do we read it? Now, I'm not talking about mechanics. I mean, really, read the Bible. I'm not talking about going through the motions. That's not reading the Bible. No way. Don't kid yourself and don't kid me. And don't put up a big blah, blah, blah. I'm talking really reading the Bible. When we talk about reading the Bible, we're not talking about going through the motions, and we never did. But if you read God's Word and it's the living Word of God, I guarantee you, it'll change your life. Now, here's a common statement. Pretty true. Talk to any Christian who's walked with God. They will tell you a couple things. They will tell you that when they know their spiritual life is waning, there is an immediate answer. The immediate answer is to start reading the Bible a lot. A lot. Not a chapter, not a half a chapter. Maybe not even talking about double. You know, if you read one verse and you double it, that's two. Okay? But I mean talking about reading a lot. Because Jesus said, my words, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the person who is serious about growing as a Christian, and they know their spiritual life isn't what it ought to be, the first immediate thing they should be doing is reading the Bible a lot. A lot. I mean chapters and chapters. And we should be, before we read the Word of God, we should be praying. We have to pray a big, long prayer. But I'll tell you what, it's a little prayer that says, God, speak to my heart today. Amen. God knows if we mean it. Reading the Bible. It's just as simple a formula as you can get. And It is common sense. You know, if you read the Bible before you go to bed, and I'm not talking about one verse, what do you think the Holy Spirit will do all night on your soul? The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God and minister to your soul all day, all night long. It's just reality. The living Word of God. And the first thing we do when we get up in the morning, and you know, we plan that the night before, most of the time, sometimes we can't help it, right? But if we don't plan on reading the Bible, we're going to stay up as late as we can, and so we're as tired as we can, so we have to stay in bed as long as we can in the morning so we can read the Bible as little as we can. Right? I mean, it's all planned ahead. And so we decide, you know what? I need to read the Bible. I need to read the Bible. And I don't need to read a little bit. I need to read a lot. No, it's just a very simple truth. The Bible is powerful. The Bible is powerful. I guarantee a couple things. If a person is getting closer to the world, I guarantee you, if they're reading the Bible, it's mechanical. I guarantee it. It's not real Bible reading, it's mechanics. Because the Bible changes our lives. The Bible changes our lives. And you know what? I'll admit, some of my sermons aren't the best in the world. But if you can sit in sermon after sermon and not hear the voice of God, problem's not here. Problem's not here. And if you say, he preached on that before, don't complain to me. You know why? Because there's probably a pretty close chance that I preached that message because the Holy Spirit told me to preach it. And your problem isn't with the message, your problem's with God. And I wouldn't preach it if I didn't know the Holy Spirit told me to preach it. Now, that's not saying that once in a while, you know, there's a disconnect. But the Bible is the Word of God. It's powerful. And nobody who is a Christian who has a Bible ever has an excuse not to be growing. We got this book right here. And you know what? Teach your children to read the Bible and hear the voice of God. Teach your children to read the Bible so they can hear the voice of God. Right? Isn't that what it's all about? You teach your children to read the Bible and hear the voice of God. I'm sure that there are many people who have started that formula. I'm away from the Lord. Okay, here we go. 5 chapters in the morning, chapter at night before I go to bed. Whatever. And guess what? The change almost is immediate. Almost immediate. Because the Bible is the Word of God. Are you really reading the Bible? You really reading the Bible? You know, we're at my wife's youth group's reunion, 50-year reunion. There was 12 senior high young people who were there when Pastor Ron Allen became the youth pastor. And at that reunion, most of those 12 and the youth workers were at that reunion 50 years later, all living for God. And what could be said about all of those people is that all of those people made it a practice to read their Bible and meet with God every day. That's why. That's the number one characteristic of the Christian life. Reading your Bible, meeting with God, letting the Word of God do its miraculous work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, for this great truth. And Lord, this is serious, and we all need to respond to it. And the fact is, almost all of us could say we need to read your word more. I doubt if there's anybody here that says they read the Bible too much. But Lord, pray you'd work in hearts. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe you want to be honest with yourself. Your relationship with God is not what it ought to be because you don't read God's Word. Really read it. Maybe mechanics, but really reading it. And God is speaking to your heart. And you say, you know what? I need to get back to serious reading of the Bible. I need to get back to serious reading of the Bible. And just by an uplifted hand, just making that decision between you and the Lord, every day, serious reading of the Bible. Anyone here? Okay. Praise the Lord. That's good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the foundation of Christian life. Amen. Lord, I thank you now for just working in tender hearts. And we rejoice, Lord, what you're going to do in their lives as they humbly read your word. And that is exciting. So bless them, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.